have to do is the chaimas anach. Chaimas anach is very simple. It's a little bit kabbalistic. I don't understand it. But let's just read it anyway.
They never stopped you before.
That's right. You got it. The whole life is a big mystery, right? The whole life is one big mystery. So we're over here on the chaimas anach, which is on page 347. He's coming to explain what it means. V'noshamu b'mois yischak. We most of the commentators learn the word yitzchak means to rejoice, and here it's used in a negative term. It's a negative expression that the b'mois, these altars of avodah zarah, were places where people frolicked. Like it says by the eagle, it says vayar b'yishes hamacholais. He saw the dancing. They did terrible averos on these altars of avodah zarah. However, we learned two of the commentators that the word yischak does not refer to the altars of avodah zarah, but rather it refers to the Beis HaMikdash. And why? How does it refer to the Beis HaMikdash? Because the yischak means yitzchak with a tzadi. And the pasuk is telling us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to destroy the Mizbeach, the Beis HaMikdash. The central part of the Beis HaMikdash is the Mizbeach where the korbanos are offered. And this will come to an end in due time. Question, why is it called Yitzchak? So we learned one of the mepharshim is because Yitzchak was the first one to be offered on the Mizbeach. So since on Rosh Hashanah we refer to the Ephraim Shel Yitzchak, Yitzchak was replaced, was substituted with an ayil, and the ayil was turned into ash, and that ash is munach on the Mizbeach. In Hashem's eyes, He sees that ash on the Mizbeach permanently, and that ash is in place of Yitzchak. So we call the Mikdash, the Beis HaMikdash, we call it by the name of Yitzchak, and the Sin and the Tzadi are interchangeable. They have the same, they have a very similar sound. It's Yitzchak, Yitzchak, whatever reason, these two letters are interchangeable.
Okay, the eagle, it just is a reference.
Letzachek, letzadi, letzachek. Very interesting. Letzachek, interesting. Very interesting. It's a very good point. Okay, now the Chaimas Anach, he says something very, very similar. He says that Yitzchak refers to Yitzchak, but we're not referring to the Beis HaMikdash. We are referring to the altars of idols of avodah zarah, namely what's with Beis El and Don, the two locations where the Aseres HaShvatim erected the Egle HaZahav and worshipped them on altars. And we're calling them by the name of Yitzchak and not Yitzchak to explain that until Matan Torah, Klal Yisrael had Zuhama, or whatever that means. It means some type of spiritual contamination. Avraham was incomplete because Avraham produced a Yishmael. Yitzchak was also not complete because he produced an Esav. Yaakov mitosoy shalema. Now, Yitzchak and Yaakov, and this is what he says in a nutshell, whatever Esav has, Yaakov has. Yaakov in five places in Tanakh is spelled mole. Yud ayin kuf Yaakov vav. Base Yaakov Mole with a Vav. We know that Eliyahu is spelled Choser in five places. The famous Chazal that Yaakov took from Eliyahu his Vav as a pledge, told him that you better come bring Mashiach. You bring Mashiach, I'm not getting back the letters of your name, whatever that all means. So therefore Yaakov also has a Vav. Esav has everything that Yaakov has, the other way around. Yaakov has everything Esav has plus more. I'm sorry. Right. Yaakov has everything that Esav has except for the sin. How do you spell Esav? Ayin, sin, vav. The first letter and the last letter, the ayin and the vav, also appears in the word, the name Yaakov. Yud, ayin, kuf. As I explained, five times in Tanakh is Yaakov spelled mole with an extra vav. Vav base. So Yaakov has the ayin and the vav. What is Yaakov missing that Esav has? The sin. The sin is missing in the word Yaakov. Yaakov has a kuf and a base, plus has everything that Esav has, the Ayin and the Vav, but is missing the letter Sin. Why is it missing the letter Sin? Because the Sin is not a good thing. The Sin is the Psoiles. It is the Psoiles of Yitzchak. This is all Kabbalah. I have no clue what I'm saying now. Whatever it is, Yitzchak produced a Yaakov and produced an Esav. Esav has some good to him, has the Ayin and the Vav, but Esav has something very bad, has the sin. Yaakov Avinu did not take that sin, he only took the good. Now, whenever we refer to the Jewish people behaving like Esav, so we go, who is the father? Who is the father of Yaakov? Who is the father of Yaakov? Yitzchak with a tzadi. So we allude that the Jewish people are behaving like Esav because they're taking the psoiles of their father, the father Yitzchak, and the way we allude to it is by changing the tzadi of Yitzchak to Yitzchak. Okay, so a real roundabout, convoluted type of drasha, but it is very interesting. I found it to be very, you know, it's a very interesting type of... what?
Is it consistent?
What do you mean consistent?
Whenever the main Israel being good,
so he cites another example. We say by the Bris Mila, Asher Koras as Brisoy Li Avraham Ushivu Oso Li Yischok. Why there we cite that in the Nusach by a Bris Mila? Why? It's not so clear why. We discussed the more popular reason, which he also mentions here, which he'll mention also. The more popular reason is that the difference between a tzadi and a sin, between the tzadi and a sin is 210. Right. Tzadi is 90, and a sin is 300. The difference between them is 210. Yitzchak, this that HaKadosh Baruch Hu calculated, the Shibud from the Leidas Yitzchak, saved us 190 years. We only had to be in Egypt for 210 years. Redu Shom, Redu B'Gematria 210. So that's the more popular approach to understand why Yitzchak is spelled with a sin, to allude to the fact that we were really meant to live in Egypt for 400 years. We never would have survived. We would have assimilated. We wouldn't exist today. It's only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Beroiv Chastav, he saw we would not survive, and he recalibrated, he worked backwards to calculate the Shibud from Leidas Yitzchak. We allude to this with the sin and the tzadi. That's the very popular thing that you will always see when you go to a bris mila. You'll look in the art scroll, you look in any of the popular sephardim on bris mila, and you take note, the nusach asher koras avraha ashvoso liyischok, that's how it is explained. Here, the choyma sanach d'chida is telling us something very, very mystical. He's telling us something which is a negative twist, the dark side. He's giving us a dark version of why it says yischok. It is alluding to the fact that Yitzchak was not yet complete. Yitzchak had psoiles. What is the psoiles? Esav. Just like Avraham Avinu was incomplete, he produced a Yishmael, so too Yitzchak produced an Esav. What is different about Esav and the Yaakov? What is the point of difference between the two, between Esav and Yaakov? It's the letter sin. Because Yaakov has the same letters as Esav, but does not have the sin. So it makes Esav stand out is the letter sin. Therefore, when we want to allude to the dark side of Yitzchak, if you can say such a thing, if we want to allude to the dark side, we call Yitzchak not with a tzadi, but with a sin, to allude to the fact that he produced an Esav. When the Jewish people, when Klal Yisrael misbehave, and they behave like Esav, so we miyaches them not to Yitzchak with a tzadi, but rather to Yitzchak with a sin. When a person misbehaves, what's the first thing you say? Who raised this child? How did it come about that this person is such a bad person? Now, again, today you can't say that because we all know it to be true. There are people, parents, who have done everything you could possibly do, and for no reason known to humankind, a child does not turn out the way you expect. Okay, I just had a story two days ago. It was amazing. A woman said to me, I was talking to a woman, she said to me that she had a very, very good friend, and her children, she had a very, very good friend, and she had a lot of children, and they were living not in the Sneh, they were living in Borough Park at that time, and she has a relative who came to visit for Shabbos in Borough Park in a Haredi community. Heavy-duty Haredi, as you could imagine, Hasidim, and her relative came in a white or gray, white or light gray suit with a straw hat. And he was there, he davened in the minyanim, and the Hasidim who lived on top, on the upper floor, they saw him, they called out from the window, Shegetz. Okay? They called him Shegetz. They mamish, these kids, mamish Vildechayas. So she was just shocked. And she went up she went upstairs to her friend who raised these children and said, "Are you talking? How could it be? You raise children that can go and call a guy who comes here for Shabbos with a straw hat and a white suit. They call him a Shegetz? Like, where do you come from? What kind of chinuch do you give your children?" And she said like some very, harsh mussar to this woman. Okay, a couple of years later, she moved to a new neighborhood, and she herself has quite a number of children. And there was someone walking in the street with a whole bunch of people, and her own children were upstairs in the second floor, and from the window, they uttered some really harsh slurs. I'm not even going to tell you what they said about someone walking in the street.
They called them a lip
off? No, they said a lot worse than that. And this woman, she was in like utter, she was just traumatized. She was just not in shock for many reasons. First of all, her children behaved after all she put into her children and spoke to them about, midos toivos, v'chulu, and then it just, in her mind, she could not get out of her mind how only a few years ago she gave harsh words of mussar to her neighbor. How do you raise children that they can say about a guy who wears a straw hat and a white suit, a Shegetz? And here she's seeing before her eyes her own children are doing even worse. After she sent them to the schools that she felt this would never happen, and she raised them, she raised them to all those koichos, and she just realized, you think you can raise children, you think you can do everything right, and after everything that you do, it goes to show, not everything that you're not in control. You put in all that you have to, you mechuyev all the shtadlus and all the effort. But sometimes it just doesn't work. The plan doesn't work out.
When you insulate them so much, become intolerant of anything that's done in their community.
Right. Whatever it is. So, like she said to me, I thought like I gave that woman mussar, and I thought I was so much better. And I did. I did everything under my control that something like this should not happen to my family. And look at that. It happened to me the same exact thing. Boys will be boys. It happened the same. So therefore, you can't second guess. You can't judge. You really can't judge someone else. You don't really know. You really don't know how this world works, how things work. But in any event, over here, going back over here to this idea, when Klal Yisrael does not behave, when Klal Yisrael is misbehaving, so when a person misbehaves, so right away, that's natural to go and to blame the parents. Why did you raise your children in such a way where this can happen? Why didn't you send them to a different school? Why didn't you give them mussar? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? Okay, that's natural. That's natural to say. So the same exact thing over here, when Klal Yisrael is misbehaving, who are we coming to blame? The parents of Klal Yisrael. Who is the parents of Yaakov? Yitzchak. So what do we say about Yitzchak? Ah, Yitzchak Taka, there's something wrong with your Yitzchak, because Yitzchak, you did indeed produce an Esav. And Esav is no nice guy. And that Esav element in Yitzchak didn't just go fully to Esav, it partially went to Yaakov as well. And the way we allude to that in a nasty, insulting way is by calling Yitzchak, not with the tzadi, which is a tzadik, but with the sin, which is the uniqueness of Esav.
The problem is, according to that interpretation, it doesn't sound appropriate to say that possible.
By a bris milah. Excellent question. That's why it doesn't say this interpretation in the art scroll. Okay. That's why they cleverly selective commentary. Okay? Like someone says, oh, this guy's a meyuchas. Oh, what a meyuchas. The enikel of this Rebbe and this Rebbe and this Rebbe. Unbelievable. Yeah, you forgot to tell in the Yichus brief that he's also an enikel of the biggest ganaf that the world ever saw and the biggest menoif. And the guy, this guy's a relative, the nivel pe that came out of his mouth, you wouldn't believe. So, yeah, in Echnami, on the Yichus brief, in the Shidduch resume, he's an enikel of this Rebbe and that Rebbe, Zuchus Yogin Aleinu, just conveniently forgot to mention about all the ganovim and the menoafim and the leitzonim in the family. It's called selective Yichus. Selective Yichus. So when it comes to commentary, you know, we learn all the time. You can take a pasuk and you can darsh it azoy, and you can darsh the pasuk azoy. Ayin panim l'Torah. So by a bris milah, no one's interested in hearing the negative. It's a time for the positive. When you want to learn mussar, you'll focus on the negative. Eiz akol es akol osa yofe bi'itay. Everything, every drush, every idea has a proper place and time. Okay, with that idea, I told you the whole thing outside. Now let's run to it very inside, because it's not easy to read inside. Not so easy to read inside. Even though the Chumash Sefer is very easy, but this one is a little bit rough. In fact, the Mincha Gedoyla says Mamash the same exact thing, but he adds a few more words, and it's much smoother in the Mincha Gedoyla. We're not going to do the Mincha Gedoyla, but let's just read the Chaimas and Nachlitz from page 10, Pasuk Tes, page 341. On page 347. Okay, Pasuk Tes, from Hashem Bomas Yischak, Kasu B'Shem, Mayreinu Harav, Rabbi Moshe Alsha Chzal, Yeroeh, Ein Bomas Aseres Hashvatim, Demel Lebes Hamidash of Yehuda, the Bomas of Aseres Hashvatim, he's telling us something that the word Bomas Yischak, it refers to Yitzchak Avinu, but not the Beis HaMikdash. It's referring to the Bamois in the Aseres HaShvatim, which include what? Bamois Aseres HaShvatim, Doim LeBeis HaMikdash of Yehuda, Ki Beis HaMikdash Shom, Gam Sheyecharev, Oden HaBikdush Osob. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Kedusha still remains, as we have elaborated upon this idea yesterday. V'lo Yishoyim LeGamrei, Ki Alkei LeZaz HaShchina Mikoysel LaHamadav, we always say the Shchina remains the Kedusha LaBaravi. Ach! Bama Yishar Shavatim, Yashaimu Legami, completely destroyed. Vidamazatam Bishum Sin Bimokoim Tzadi. We interchange these letters. For who? Ki Yitzchak, Kil Yitzchak, Yiloshne Bonim. Yitzchak had two children. Who are they? Yaakov Yesov, page 349. The Elu Biva Moisam Lavoda Vavodas Elil. I'm sorry? The Elu Biva Moisam, and the children of Yaakov. The Aseres HaShvatim, when they erected the Bama Lavodas V'Chavim, Elilim, Natu El Bechinas Esav Sheyotza MeYitzchak. Yaakov Avinu is behaving like Esav. V'lo El Bechinas Yaakov. Why? How did this happen? Because the answer is because, now he goes to the history, Kizuamas Hanochash Le'ovra Ad Omnam Ba'al Har Sinai, in the Neshama of Avraham Yitzchak, and even Yaakov, there was still Zuhama. Zuhama literally means filth, spiritual filth, and that did not depart until Matan Torah. That this is Parsha, okay? Mamash Hashgacha to appreciate another dimension in appreciating the significance of Matan Torah. What happened by Matan Torah? What was the significance? Matan Torah, what we received the Torah. Very good. What else happened by Matan Torah? What else happened? So it says here, this is very important. First of all, there was a gilui. Probably the most important part of Matan Torah is that this, we always say this, but it's kedai to chazer. What makes Klal Yisrael different than all of the other religions in the world? You cannot emphasize this point enough. Everyone else, one man show, and it fools the world to tell them, trust me. Yoshka, he told the world, God appeared to me. Trust me. Just trust me. Mohammed, he had a vision. Trust me. Go through all of the religions. It's always a one-man show. They came up with this nonsense. Even Shabtai Tzvi. Okay, talk about all the false messiahs. All these new Meshugayim. There's an incredible new book out on the market. What's it called? The name of the author is a new book about a historian. All of the false messiahs of the strangest people in Judaism throughout the centuries. It's a bestseller. They even wrote it up on the cover of Mishpacha magazine. Okay, all the mystics and Jewish people who have fooled and misled the Jewish people throughout history, people that we know about, people that we do not know about, people not so popular. He writes it up, and his style of writing is second to none. I thought that's what they write in the book. Not that I didn't read the book yet, if I'll ever have time. But all of these type of people also is the same thing. Trust me. Matan Torah was a time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to every single person. 3 million people saw Hashem firsthand. Ro'osa shifcha shebayam ma sheloi ro'o Yechezkel ben Buzi. Moish Rabbeinu saw Hashem that was Kriyas Yamsuf, but it's even more. It was even more. By Matan Torah, Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai, the entire Klal Yisrael heard Hashem himself say the words, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Lo Yiyeh Lecha Elohim Acherim Al Panoi. You don't have to trust anyone. It's not a matter of trust. You yourself saw Hashem, heard Hashem. This was either our neshamas, our ancestors, 3 million people, and therefore they did not give over to the next generation lies. They themselves were witnesses, unlike all other religions where there are no witnesses. So here he writes here, that's another element of Matan Torah, that we saw firsthand Hashem. Number two, Hashem gave us the Torah. Number three, Achdus. We never had Achdus like this in the history of the Jewish people. Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar. Okay? Ilu Kervanu Lefnei Har Sinai Viloi Nosalonu Es HaTorah. Achdus alone was sufficient. Just seeing Hashem, knowing firsthand that there is a God without having to trust someone, but to see Hashem was worthy. And now he's telling us another essential event that happened at Har Sinai. Poska Zuha Mosan. The filth that entered, that penetrated the neshama of man was purged at this moment for Klal Yisrael only. Okay, we don't really understand what this means, but a guy is full of filth. His neshama has a filth that he cannot shake off, a spiritual filth that cannot be purged. It's just there. It's a stain. They have a stain on a piece of garment. You just can't get the stain out, no matter what you do, no matter what cleaners, no matter what chemicals you use. You just can't get that stain out. It was stuck into the fiber of the neshama. By Matan Torah, this filth was purged in Klal Yisrael. Now, how do we know that? Because Avraham had also had Zuhama. It produced the Yishmael. Yitzchak had Zuhama, it produced an Esa. But Yaakov, at this moment in time, it was purged. Yaakov and his children were Shlema, but to another level. So we further. Zuhama Sanochash. Lo'over Ad Amdamal Har Sinai. V'chein Avraham Hitil Chilik V'Zuhama B'Hagar. Avraham put his Zuhama in Hagar V'Yatza Yishmael. V'chilik Shoyim Yitzchak Yatza B'Mena Esav. V'nirmas Poi. Here it's Merumis. Kinatu B'Biva Moisam. When the Jewish people, when Yaakov Avinu, when they built the Bama, that's Abba Seres Hashvatim El Chilek Esav Sheyatsa MiYitzchak. We went and we connected to the Zuhama in our father Yitzchak. V'loy El Chilek Sheyatsa MiMen Yaakov. V'Kihu. What's the proof to this? Ki Ayin Vav Shebe Esav MiYaakov. The Ayin and the Vav Esav appears in the word Yaakov. In the Mincha Gedil he elaborates because Yaakov appears with the Vav in 5 places in Tanakh. Yaakov is spelled Mole. So Esav is 3 letters. Ayin, Sin, Vav. The Ayin and the Vav is in Yaakov as well. But the Ois Sin, the Esav, that does not exist in Yaakov. That's the Zuhamah. So Yaakov is behaving like Esav. So we're blaming the parents, Yitzchak, and we're not going to call him Yitzchak. We're referring to the sin that has come down to Yaakov. The Esav chutla be Yitzchak, his sin b'makom tzadi. Umitam zekin oisam b'samoch el Yitzchak v'loy satif al beis Yitzchak. Another pasuk later on, same exact thing, that when the Jewish people are misbehaving, we are called Yitzchak. Okay? He got rid of the sin and retained the tzadi. Ad kan lishnoi, this is the gist of what it says in the Alshach. The Yeish lohoshev tzas al devi harav zal. The Chaimus Noch says, you know something? I don't like this pshat. I don't like it. You can ask questions. You can challenge the truth of this interpretation. But you know what? Not for now. I'm not going to fight now. Now is not my day. Period. Now he gives another interpretation, the Efshin. Now he's telling you which is very popular. This is what we said before, and this is what it'll tell you in all of the nice books on Bris Mila. The Efshar maybe comes from, maybe this is the source for this. Maybe this is it. I don't know. Maybe he, Mamish, the one who authored this idea. The Amar v'noshamu b'mos Yischak, the Amar Razal, Rabbi Sezer L'Racha, ki Yischak nosan oshin v'lokach tzadi, ki delikatzer golos Mitzrayim. It was meant to be 400 years. The difference between a sin and a tzaddi is 190, and he reduced it to 190 years in the galus by calculating the inui from leidas Yitzchak. V'zerem es l'chu chazu the Yitzchak nas and ois sin mishmog delikatzik galus v'heim tarchim lachas l'galus, and they went to galus. He's, you know what? I'll take the galus upon myself. Inami b'roigis rachim Yitzchak the Yitzchak moser nafshoi. Now he's saying another interpretation. I don't know if this is a new interpretation or it's coming to explain what he just said. The Yitzchak Mosar Nafshoi Alehem Kama Zimne Luchin Yichasam Li Yitzchak Lirachem Alehem Lyos Rachum Bedin. What does that mean exactly? Why is this a new interpretation? Mosar, how does the word Mosar Nafshoi refer to Yitzchak? Yisurin? If he said that a sin is similar to a samach of Yisurin, maybe? I don't know what it means. The point anyway is the same, and that is, we know Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy the Jewish people. He went to Avraham Avinu, and he said to Avraham Avinu that your children have sinned. So what did Avraham Avinu say? If that's the case, finish them off. Hashem then went to Yaakov, and Hashem said, Yaakov, your children have sinned. What did Yaakov say? If they sinned, nothing I can do. Punish them, finish them off. What then did Hashem do? He went to Yitzchak. And what did Yitzchak say? Yitzchak said, my children and not your children? How dare you talk to me like that, Hashem? They're your children just like they're my children. So they sinned, so what? They sinned. Big deal. Pal giolai upal gialoch. I'll accept responsibility for 50% of their sins. And you, first of all, he made the calculation, right? How much time during the day do they actually sin? There are 24 hours in a day. So you sleep for how many hours? 8 hours. And then you make a whole calculation. And then you go to the Beis HaKisa and you have to eat. And you have to work. So how much time already possibly can you possibly sin during the day? How much time? 3 hours. The calculation comes down. Most you can sin during the day is 3 hours. So those 3 hours, I'll take half and you'll take half. We'll split it, Hashem. Okay, this Gemara is beyond understanding. It's very mystical Gemara, but we see from all Hashem says that there's no compassion, wisdom, not in the old and not in the young. The old refers to Avraham Avinu. The young refers to Yaakov. The only one that had Rachmanis on us is Yitzchak. And therefore Yitzchak is our savior. We like from the three of us, which one do we adore the most? Yitzchak. Because the Yitzchak is the one that always comes to our defense. More than Avram and more than Yaakov. It is Yitzchak who is the one that comes to our defense, and we adore Yitzchak. And therefore, over here, here is another example of where Yitzchak comes to our defense. He saw that we would be in Egypt for 400 years, and he petitioned Hashem, you know what? Cut it short. Cut it short. Calculate the inui from my birth, and thus you can reduce their stay in Egypt by 190 years. Yitzchak is the one that's always coming to our defense. Why dafka Yitzchak? Because Yitzchak is Midas Hadin. It represents strict justice. Just like there's strict justice for Averois, there is strict justice for Mitzvahs. Don't overlook their good deeds. Don't overlook your promises to Klal Yisrael. He demands. We always say to Hashem, you know, have rachmanis, we did an Avera. No, have rachmanis on us. Overlook the Avera. You know what's so scary about that? There's no free lunch. Hashem can say, if I'm going to overlook your Averois, you know what, I'll overlook your Mitzvahs. What, you put on tefillin today? No, nah, I'm not going to put that on the chart. Did you really have kavana when you put on tefillin? Did you really have kavana? Did you really pay attention? Did you say the bracha with kavana? No, if you want me to overlook your Averois, there's going to be a consequence. I may have to overlook your mitzvahs as well. Yitzchak says, no. Midas Hadin. There's no vitur. You don't just overlook anything. You don't overlook the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs are there. Oh, but if I'm going to overlook the mitzvahs, I'm not going to overlook the mitzvahs. I can't overlook the averos. Yitzchak somehow is able to maneuver and argue before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Averois, I'll take care of. I accept responsibility.
I think he had the strong position because he had Esav. He never threw Esav out.
He didn't want to throw Esav out. His original plan was that Esav would be part of Klal Yisrael. Yeah. It was only Rivka. She was the one that gets credit. We always say there are three. What was their contribution? Sarah got rid of Yishmael. Rivka got rid of Esav. What about Rachel and Leah? They got rid of Lavan. They're the ones that says. What was the pasuk? They said when he took them out.
We have no chelik with our father.
That is probably the most significant because Lavan was even a greater danger to Klal Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu was very happy to be a partner with Lavan. Lavan could also be part of Klal Yisrael. Lavan had what to offer? No, it's true. Lavan, Yaakov, you know, he didn't want to go away from Lavan. He wanted to stay by Lavan.
Really?
Lavan, he wanted to be a partner.
I get cheated 100 times. I don't get any sleep. Yeah, I really want to get.
Obviously, Lavan still had what to offer. Lavan still, even though he was a problematic person. Look, Esav was also a problematic person. Yitzchak said, "So what? He's mine." Yishmael is also problematic. Avraham Avinu vayera hadavar me'oid b'nei Avraham. So what? You got problems. No one's perfect. No one's perfect in this world. Just because you got problems, you're going to go throw your kid out of the house just because he misbehaves? Everyone got problems. So Yaakov Avinu, he stayed by him for 20 years. It's a long time to sit it out by Lavan. Even though Lavan was a conniver and a real troublemaker, he stuck it out for 20 years by Lavan. Obviously, Lavan had what to offer. Leah and Rachel, it is to their credit that Lavan is michutz lamachaneh. Galeid, don't pass over the boundary. You're on the other side. Lavan is out. His influence, whatever he has to offer is not part of Klal Yisrael. This is the contribution of Rachel and Leah. The good riddance of Lavan. Just like Rivka gets credit for getting rid of Esav, and Sarah gets credit for getting rid of Yishmael, don't underestimate, don't undervalue the koyach of Rachel and Leah, it was their advice, their koyach, that removed the influence of Lavan Harami from Klal Yisrael. Okay, so here we have the Zuama, and we have these ideas. Yitzchak is the one who comes to our defense. He is the one that we adore. it's funny because he's not the one that you would think, because you know we know very little about Yitzhak. Yitzhak, when you think about Yitzhak, he's the one that's in Koilo. Avraham Avinu was a real activist. He was a real kanoi, Avraham Avinu. There was no big kanoi. People come into the store and they want to buy an idol. I have all these midrashim. A woman comes into the store and says, I want to buy an idol. He says to her, you want to buy an idol? I just made it today. You want to offer a sacrifice to this piece of clay that I put in the oven today? Are you out of your mind? You're 90 years old. And this thing is only one day old. It came out of the oven this morning. And you want to buy it and bow down to it? Are you crazy? He's a real kanoi. And the next customer, someone brings an offering. So he smashes all the idols, and he puts the hammer in one of the idols, and his father goes, what happened? Well, someone came to bring an offering to one of the idols, and this idol got jealous, so picked up the hammer and smashed all the other idols. So that's why they're all destroyed. So his father says, what are you talking about? So he said to his father, listen to your own words. You know it's nonsense. So what are you bowing down to this idol? Parnassa. I got a choice. I gotta feed you, Avraham Avinu. I gotta pay for your tuition. I got a choice. What? Moshe Rabbeinu, I learned yesterday. Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson. I know this marriage. Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson was the priest. So he had that parnasa. He had that parnasa, and so it says. Well, why did he do this? Because it says in Chazal. I don't know. Fascinating Chazal that better sell yourself to an avodah zarah, then take a handout. So the grandchildren of Avraham Avinu, of Moshe Rabbeinu were very, very poor. And they needed to come on to tzedakah. So they interpreted this chazal, even though the chazal was written much later on, literally, the words of chazal, I don't know the exact words, but mutav, it's better that a person should sell himself to an avodah zarah, then take a handout from another fellow. Now, halacha lemaisa, we don't paskin like that. We paskin that this chazal is to be interpreted as a metaphor. Avodah zarah means a service that's not lefi kavodai. Better clean toilets. Better go clean toilets in the subway than take charity. So what? Kavodatar doesn't mean you should take handouts. Doesn't mean you should take handouts. It's an avoida, a service that's zora, that is unbefitting. It's strange to you, but to be sold, but to work in a church, no, that you can't do. That is awesome. They disagree. They learn the way we halacha lemais interpret the chazal is better sell yourself. Take a job that's not lefi kavodai, it's an avoda that's zora, that's strange, that's unbefitting to your dignity. Better do that than take a handout from someone else. The b'nei, the children, the grandchildren of Moshe Rabbeinu, they interpreted this chazal literally. Better be sold to an idol than take a handout. So they weren't, they worked in the church. What happened? It says in the Medrash, it's very, very funny. A person comes into the church, and they basically made litzonis the whole day. Oh, you want to bring a serve the idol? I think you should go to Essen on Coney. Go to Essen on Coney, buy a platter of corned beef sandwiches with some good wine, mustard, and all the bells and whistles, trim, and put it in front of the idol as an offering. You have to bring a dignified offering to the idol. So the guy, So the guy goes, he spends $200, he goes to Esnan Koni, buys the best thing you can possibly buy with a whole five-course meal, and he comes back to the church, and he puts it down in front of the idol. And the grandchildren say, excellent. You will now be, this idol will bless you with unbelievable brachos. He gives him a ganzer mishaberach. The guy walks out, and the grandchildren, Moshe, sit down for lunch. And they eat it. They eat it for lunch. In other words, those are litzanis. A litzanis. You want to offer, so I'll tell you what to bring. Basically, whatever they told them was what they want for lunch today.
If a church calls up an electrician, a Jewish electrician, and asks you to do electrical, are you allowed to do it in the church?
Are you allowed to do it in church? Not in the sanctuary, but in the lobby, yes. And in the basement, yes. But not in the sanctuary. Not in the sanctuary. You're allowed to. You're allowed to actually do work to install, as long as it's not mamish in the sanctuary. That's the halacha. You're allowed to have a contract. You want to put on a roof. Get a great job. The archdiocese wants to give the contract to redo the roofs of all of the churches, all the schools. They have a whole network of property. It's mutter. The only thing you can't do is the mokam of the zar mamish. That is where you're not allowed. You only want to paint. They give you, get a contract to go paint all their buildings. It's lucrative. You got parnasa your whole life. It's mutter. It's because that's not mamish. The base of avodah zarah. Only in the sanctuary itself you can't. They have no choice. That's din de malchusa. They have no choice. What mishum eva? It used to be years ago. And they got away with it when the Hatzalah first started. My grandmother once told me, it was in Mice and Bar Park, there was an accident. My grandmother called the Hatzalah, and they asked her, are they Jewish? There was a car accident. So she says, I don't know what she said exactly, but she seemed to tell them probably not. This is before Bar Park was only Jewish, right? It seems like, so they said to her, the dispatcher says, we only answer for from Jews. I'm sorry. Call 911. Go call 911. Now today, if you do that, they'll shut down Hatzalah. Hatzalah probably, I imagine, gets an enormous amount of money from the government, without question. And if you'll go and you'll do that, and they have everything today is recorded. This was probably before this, when they record every single call conversation. They don't get no money from the government? I don't believe it. I can't believe it. Can't believe they don't get any money from the government. Everyone gets money from the government.
Just suggested that if someone has insurance that pays.
Oh, that's a big new thing now. That's a big, big hot topic now. We should bring over here. Right, that's a very, very big thing now. A very hot topic now is, should Hatzalah bill your insurance? If Rachmano Litzlan, a person calls Hatzalah, and Hatzalah comes and takes him to the hospital, v'chulu, and the person has insurance, they have insurance, should Hatzalah go bill your insurance? So this is a very big debate. There are some Hatzalahs that do. They definitely do. And there are some that do not. I don't know the whole reason behind it.
If they have financial support, they may not have to. But if they don't have the financial support...
You can never have enough money. There's no such thing as financial support. No such thing. Even if they have, they're loaded to the hilt with money, you can never, ever have enough money. No such thing. More money is more money. They can use the money for buy another ambulance, buy more equipment, do this, do that. You always can use more money. There are different issues. I don't know what the issues are. There's a very famous person in Queens, was it? I don't know. Who retired. They voted, that Hatzalah of Queens, they're going to start billing in the people's insurance. If a person calls Hatzalah, so why not? Why not? No loss to the person. Maybe, I don't know the rules. I don't know how it works. Every person obviously is different. There's a deductible, and does it cause your insurance to go up? I have no idea. Every person is different.
There are some people who are using Hatzalah as a ride to the hospital.
That's another problem. That's another issue. Another problem. But besides that, I don't know what the issues are. And it's a very, and this person who is a major founder of Hatzalah, he was so hurt that they decided he was vetoed, and they decided they're going to start billing the people's insurance. He quit. He made this speech at one of their big events, and it was sent shockwaves through the entire from world, and everyone never even heard. I never heard of this until that point in time, and everyone said, what do they do in Flatbush? What do they do here? What do they do there? I don't know. I have no idea what they do. I asked that solid guy, what?
They don't bill.
They don't have their insurance. Monthly bills. There are a lot of. I heard a lot. More than most of them do bill. Yeah.
In Eretz Yisrael, there's a big fight between Mogendov and Adom and Hatzalah United, because if you go to respond to, let's say, what's called a terror activity,
yeah,
the government pays the ambulance.
Okay.
So, not to be cynical, but when there's a when there's a terror activity, hundreds of ambulances come responding.
Because they get paid.
They get paid. But, you know, some do it lishma also. But Magen David Adom would get upset because they were losing, you know, when the guy got there first.
I went this Sunday to Great Neck. I drove to Great Neck and I came back at night. And you know, Great Neck, you know, it's a long ride from Great Neck to Brooklyn. It could take an hour. And I noticed on the way back, there were ambulances, special, like these special emergency type of, you know, the FDNY has all these funny trucks, yeah. All different types of trucks and emergencies. And on the entire way, and second, you pass through Queens, and the way I went with the Jackie Robinson, you go, and I saw from Brooklyn, going home to Brooklyn, non-stop emergency vehicles going to, I don't know where they were going. Going the other way, going from Queens, right? There was a piece. I was like, what in the world is going on over here? And they were coming from all different neighborhoods. Like, obviously, wherever they were going on Jackie Robinson. You know, that means you're coming from a different neighborhood. And then later on, I saw there was a big fire, right? A big fire, a big fire. But like you're saying, it's interesting. It's like some emergencies, you wonder, they don't have enough support in locally to handle the emergency. They're coming from all the neighborhoods. Scary. It must be something very big. Something very, very, like on Borough Park, the Flatbush, they come, but when you come like from like another neighborhood, and like 9/11, they all came running. 9/11, that was one of a kind. But you're telling me over here something very funny. You're telling me over here a new thing now is they're getting money. You're telling me over here, who knows? Maybe the different places, the Bedafka, they send in their units because they have what to report, and they can collect from the government. You know, maybe their statistics, they have to show they did something. You're saying something very scary.
Double billing.
Right, it's always about money, right? Always, everything comes down to money at the end. Okay, in any event.
Rabbi,
yes.
Don't use the Jackie Robinson at night.
It's dangerous.
Yes.
Dangerous during the day also.
Don't get it flat on Howard Avenue.
It's a dangerous Schwarz territory. It's very dangerous over there. Yeah. Okay, you are correct.
I used to live there.
Oh, it used to be? Yeah, Mayor here. Mayor give you a tour. You want to go to our website? Mayor was giving us a tour of Brownsville.
Brownsville.
And Crown Heights. He's going to give us a, he knows like the back of his hand. It's amazing. You go there now, there's nothing. And what we know is that if only you go back not so long ago, you wouldn't believe what was going on. The Yiddishkeit, the Kedusha, what was there? Yeah, look, I remember my mother, Allah Hashem, she once was on the Lower East Side, and we're walking there around MTJ territory, and RJJ, she showed me where RJJ was. And she showed me, you know, where, and she showed me house by house, you know who lived here? This going and the, like all the Sheres HaPleita from the Holocaust, one after another, Gedolei Yisrael, right. and stories, and this happened over here, and this mice happened over here, and I remember what happened on Yom Kippur during the break, and she's describing to me, Mamish, what the Kedusha, what existed, a world that existed. Right here on the Lower East Side.
Yeah,
it only takes a few minutes to get there.
RJJ, a Chinese developer, changed into condos.
Right.
The building, something like that.
Yeah.
And like now you look at it, nothing. The building is still there. The cornerstone of RJJ is still there. The building is still there. They didn't knock down the building. It was a noodle factory for many years. Now it's condos.
The original YU is on the Lower East Side.
The cornerstone is still there. The cornerstone is still there. And who, my mother's telling me these stories and stories and stories. Who would imagine there's now literally nothing. Zero, zero, zero. Try to find a Jew. Forget about a religious Jew. No, that's already a different neighborhood. That's already a different neighborhood. But it's just amazing. It's amazing how Yiddishkeit travels. And you would never, ever know. You wouldn't. It's mind-boggling. of what once was, and you walk down the street, you realize what was here?
Yeah.
Nothing. Garnished.
Same thing in Baltimore.
Like different territories, neighborhoods.
Used to be in lower Park Heights, went to upper Park Heights, and now it's traveling.
Further. Yeah. It's like the Jews come, they suck out the tzitzis of Kedusha. They suck out every last spark. They're worth millions, some of these apartments. But who's going to buy it? You get for $1 million a room, the whole apartment. The whole apartment is the size of this room, literally. So you can go buy a house with Muncie somewhere for that $1 million, when you can buy a whole block somewhere else. So why do you want to go buy for $1 million? Okay. It's a good investment, maybe, right? You have the money. All right, Rabbi Sai, okay, that is our digression for today. Now let's get back to business. Rabbi Sai. Let's start a new section, okay? We now start a new section by Yishach Pasuk Yud. Okay, I'm going to read all the Pasuk in one shot. Rabbi Sai, let's read until the end of the parak. Okay, we're going to start from Pasuk Yud. Okay, Rabbi Sai, may I have your attention? Rabbi Sai, back to business. Page 348. Vayishlach Amatzia. This is an entirely new section. Amatzia Koyein Beisel. There was a person, his name was Amatzia. He was not a good guy. This guy Amatzia, we don't even really know too much who he was, but he's a bad guy. He was a Navi Hashekah. He was a priest. Not even a Navi, he was a Navi. He was a priest that ministered where? Where did he minister? He ministered in Beisel. Okay, Beisel was one of the two locations where Yerov Ben Nevat established a church. The Egel Hazav. He made an Egel Hazav in Beisel, and he was probably the Kohen Gadol in this church. He said, "Vayishlach Amatzia Kohen Beisel el Yeravam Melech Yisrael Lemar." He sent a message to Yeravam, the king of Yisrael Lemar. This was the king that we mentioned on top of the pasuk. The Yeravam was. If you want to go look on page 915 in that fantastic chart that we always refer to, Yeravam lived in the same time as Amos. As you see, he was the son of Yehoyash. Okay, he was towards the end of the Aseres Hashvatim, the king. He had a long reign. He reigned from, it says over here, from the year 3110 all the way to 3160. Relatively speaking, that's 50 years. Longer than most of the other ones. And he gave the following message. He says, there's a fellow here. His name is Amos. And this fellow Amos is a troublemaker. He has formed a rebellion. Koshar means a conspiracy. A conspiracy, a rebellion, a revolt, a coup. There are many different translations of the word koshar. It means a kesher. You're not together. You conspire. You bring people together like a knot in order to achieve a goal. Over the years, I've seen many translations. Kesher, a conspiracy, a coup, a revolt, a rebellion. Alecha Amos, Bekerev Beis Yisrael, in middle of, they're conspiring in the middle of your kingdom. Lo suchal aretz lachil, that's called Devarav, the earth cannot contain. Now, listen, that's an interesting expression, which Mepharshim don't dwell on all that much. Lo suchal means they don't really explain too much what it means over here, what these words mean. We have to leave from the Mepharshim. Lo suchal, his words are too harsh. He's saying words which is too harsh to accept, too difficult to accept the truth, because he's basically saying is, you're all going to die. You're all going to be exiled, and your existence will come to an end. Such harsh words a human being cannot accept. The world is coming to an end, right? Didn't I read in the news that Elon Musk, is he the CEO of... Elon Musk, the CEO of Tesla, he sent out an email two nights ago at 1:30 in the morning, indicating that Tesla is coming to an end. They're on the verge of declaring bankruptcy. I don't know what that means. I just read the headlines of the article. I don't know what that means exactly. He says something that's losuchal. How could you say such a thing? People have invested millions of dollars in this. All of the big investors have put so much money into their technology of driverless cars, electric cars, v'chulu v'chulu. Okay, same thing with the CEO of Amazon. He also sent out an email, also not that long ago, indicating that he fears that Amazon is coming to an end. It will come to an end. How could you say that? Yeah. Everyone loves Amazon, except unless you're in the, unless you're a store. Okay, but all the customers, they are. How could you say that coming to an end because of all of the issues? There are many, many very frightening issues. Lo sucha la'aretz la'achil, that's called divarav. The people cannot tolerate, especially the investors. The only people who have invested in Amazon, how many people invest in Tesla? These are the two companies I think people have put the most money of investment money. People hear this, they'll lose their life savings. That's what he's saying, Amos. Amos is saying that Klal Yisrael is coming to an end and we cannot deal with such harsh predictions. This man must be eliminated. Now, to the credit of Yeravam, he does not dispatch a SWAT team to kill him. Okay? Like we find by by Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah, who was the king then? Who was the last? How can I forget this? Tzidkiyahu. Tzidkiyahu, the whole question, he almost gave the nod, you know, have him, we eliminate him. No. So here, so Koyam, what are his words? Yeravam. Not only will the people come to him, he's also say that you, Yeravam, the king, you're going to die. You're going to be killed. This is what Amos says. Becherev Yomus Yeravam, the Yisrael, the Aseres Hashvatim, Golo Yigle will be exiled, Me'al Admosai. Vayoy Meramatsia Lamos. So therefore, this is what you now, between the lines, okay, there's a parsha break here. We have to assume that Yeravam told Amatsia, take care of it. Hold them down in the mikvah. Okay, hold them down in the mikvah. Take care of it. So what did he do, Amatsia? Vayoy Meramatsia Lamos. Choyze. He addressed him with the word Choyze. Choyze, seer. Seer, that's the name of a prophet. Leich, get lost. Get out of here. I'm giving you a day to leave the country. If you don't leave the country, then we're going to hold you down in the mikvah. Choyze, leich, leave. Brach lecha, flee. El Eretz Yehuda. Go to Eretz Yehuda. There they like you. There you'll find the shtela. There when you'll predict gloom and doom for us, you'll get a good audience. They don't like us. The people of Yehuda, they don't like us. They couldn't wait for us to be exiled so they can inherit our property and to say, we told you so. So go there. There you'll find a good audience. So have a nice shtibul. The echol sham lechem was mock. According to most of the he's mocking him. He's saying is that all of the prophets are schnorrs. They go, why do they go giving over prophecy? Because they don't have a parnasa. They go to a shul, they give a prophecy. So people drop a quarter. They drop a quarter in their hat when they say words of inspiration, words of prophecy. That's how they make a parnasa. So he's saying over here, you're a collector. And what you do is you go and you give over words of musr. And people drop quarters in your hat. Here, they don't want to hear what you said because here you're saying bad news. Go to Yehuda. They're very happy to hear about our korban. There, they'll put quarters in your hat and you'll have what to eat. He's making litzanis. Go to Yehuda Shem Lechem. V'sham tinabeh. You'll make a good parnasa. Ubeisel, but here in Beisel, we have revoked your license to be a collector. We've taken back your ishur. You know, you have to have your document which gives you a license to collect. Ubeisel loisayisifali naveg. Why keep mikdash melechu? This is a holy. This is our place. You're starting up with the holy place of the king. Ubeis mamlochahu, this is the place of the kingdom. But Farshim right away say, what are you talking about? Shoimroin. Shoimroin was the capital of the Aseres Hashvatim, not Beisel. So Farshim answer, you're right. Shoimroin was the capital, but Beisel was everyone had a second home. They had a summer home. Everyone came to Beisel. You know, you have to go from Rosh Hashanah to Meron. You go for Chanukah skiing, and you go for Pesach to the hotel. You know, you have to diversify. In the winter, you have a home. The whole religion, what's the whole Yadus? Rosh Hashanah, where do you go, Yashana? Meron. Chanukah, you go. Chanukah, you go to. Chanukah, you go to Florida. No, go skiing, Vermont. You have to have a home in Vermont. Skiing for Chanukah. Thanksgiving, you go to Florida. Where do you go for Thanksgiving? You go somewhere else. Okay, and then the winter, you have to have a home in Florida. Pesach, you go to the hotels. Okay, they go and then it comes for Shavuos. When do you go for Shavuos? Eretz Yisrael. You go to the, that's where you go for Shavuos, right? You go to the fancy hotels for Shavuos. Don't go to the Achikala. You have to also go now for the Achikala. Make sure you get in the picture. And then the summertime, where do you go? You go somewhere else. There's a whole funny joke of where you go. Basically, you conquer the whole world. So Beisel was one of those places where you had to have a second home to stay in Beisel. So that's how we do it here. Vayan almost vayomer lamasi almost responds to the masi lo navi anochi. Now this is shocking what he says. He says to him, "You made a big mistake. I'm not a navi. Veloy ven navi anochi. What in the world are you talking about? Why in the world is almost and Treyaso? He's not a navi. It's a lie. He is a navi." It's a shocking, shocking. A Navi can't lie. A Navi is a Navi. It's a shocking. This all the Mepharshim struggle very hard with this statement. It's a white lie. And this, you can't deny the facts. I'm not a Navi. My father's not a Navi. Really? Why is Sefer Amos Treyasar? Because he is a Navi. Okay, there are a lot of people that wanted to be in Treyasar and didn't make it. There are a lot of wannabes that didn't make it because they talk, we're not Nevi'im. And yet, the Apocrypha, okay, all the Sifrei Chitzayim, and yet over here, he writes about himself, L'Navi Nech L'Vin Anonochi. And therefore, don't tell me I'm a Navi. And he says over here, Ki Voiker Anoichi. I'm a Voiker. What's a Voiker? I raise cattle. I have a Parnasa. There are many Mepharshim, what this means. It means I raise cattle, or it means I'm a shepherd, or I'm in the construction business. Okay, we'll see later on. Uvoiles shikmim. What does that mean? Voikamim means I have cattle. Uvoiles shikmim. I look after sycamore trees in order to seek shelter under their shade with the shadows. I look for sycamore trees which have a lot of shade in order to put my animals underneath the sycamore trees to provide them with shade. Something uvoilis shikmi means I'm in the construction business. I'm always looking for some good lumber to build some houses, and the good lumber was sycamore. And vayikocheni Hashem Yahweh Hatzor. I don't have a degree. I don't have a degree in prophecy. How then did I become a preacher? Hashem one day appeared to me and told me, go preach. Hashem took me from behind the sheep. I want you to be a prophet. I want you to give over a message to the Jewish people. And therefore, leave me. Therefore, don't go accuse me. This is not my parnassus. Most of the learn over here is, I don't need the money. Don't go tell me the reason why I'm giving over, I'm preaching, is because I want some bread. And if I'll go to another, I'll go to Yehuda, I'll get a good parnassa. I'll get a lot of quarters in my hat. I don't need the money. I have a parnasa. I'm a shepherd. I'm in the construction business. I don't need the money. And the reason why I'm doing this over here is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he sent me to do this. And therefore, I'm telling you, I'm not doing this for ulterior motives. I'm telling you the MS. The MS is either shape up or ship out. Now, Shema Dvar Hashem, you, Ato Imer, Lo Sinavi, Al Yisrael, Vlo Tativ, Al Beis Yisrok. Same thing we said before, Yisrok with the sin. You're telling me I should not give up a prophecy. I should not drip. Now this is very, not today, we're out of time today, but Lo Satif is a fascinating word. Satif literally means to drip. The Malbim says this word means a minor prophecy. There's a major prophecy, and there's something called a minor prophecy. The word that is used to describe a minor prophecy is a drip. There's a stream, a flow of prophecy, and there's a drip. Look quickly in the Malbim. In the Be'er Hamilos, here on page 352, on the left side, loy sativ kvar bayarti ki hatofa kitana minavua vi nivua kitsara, a short nivua. Kimatif tif tif, like the drip, a drip of liquid that comes down. Okay? Two different terms. Loy sinave ali Yisrael. Don't give over a long prophecy. Veloy satif. Don't give over a short prophecy. Al beis Yischok. Hashem says the following message to Amatzia. Amatzia, you're going to suffer. What's the suffering? Your wife will be mezane. Your wife will commit adultery in front of your eyes. Ishticha bo'ir, in this city. She's not going to do it secretly out in the field. But in the city, Tizne will commit adultery. Uvonech uvnesech, your sons and your daughters, they will be killed. You will go into exile and your property will be distributed by the enemy, will be divided. You will die on unholy land. The Israel and the Jewish people, the Aseres Hashvatim Golo Yigle Me'al Admosel. Okay, so that's the end until in parable. Tomorrow we're going to go through the Mefarshim, but basically over here we have a little story. The whole story, to recap, is there is a fellow by the name of Amatzia. He's a bad guy. Amatzia, he was the kohen, he was the priest, the kohen gadol of the church in Beisel that ministered to the Egel Hazav that was established years ago by Yom Nevat. And he did not like Amos, because Amos was making a conspiracy. He was chipping away, and he was gathering a group of people secretly, conspiring to tell them to overturn the Malchus. And he reported this slander to the Yeravam, the king Yeravam, Ben Yehoyash. And Yeravam and Yehoyash said to Amatzia, do what you need to do to eliminate this fellow. Amatzia went to Amos and said to Amos, Amos, I'm giving you a day to leave the country. If you don't leave the country, I'll kill you, basically. I'll leave the country. And he made litzonis of him. Oh, you need a parnasa. Go to Yehuda, there they'll put quarters in your hat when you give over these words of prophecy. Amos responds, excuse me, Amatzia, I don't need the money. I'm not doing this for money. I have a parnasa. I had no intent to be a Navi. I never went to Navi school. I'm a shepherd. Hashem came to me. He forced me to give over these words of Nevuah. And I'm telling you, it's MS. And for going and making litzanis of me and challenging me, you're going to suffer. Your wife will be mezane. Your children will die. And the aseres hashem will go into golus. And know what you're dealing with. Know, be well aware in advance of what the situation really is. That is the story in a nutshell. And the Mir Tashem tomorrow, we will decipher it in more detail with some of the amazing mefarshim that we have here on the page and elsewhere. Thank you.